Good
Hello, Scott.
morning. Hello, Sheldon. It's been a while since we've done this live thing.
It has been like a month or longer or something.
Easily, like we said, we're losing track of time. It could be 6 months. I don't even know.
Seriously. Sometime in the past, though, for sure.
Sometime in the past, the relative past, yes.
Yes. So how
But
have you
it's
been?
Extremely busy. How about
Yeah,
you?
that's the, I think that is the operative word for description for the time. Crazy busy.
Yeah, it does
And
seem to be a
intense, like you were
common
saying.
theme. Yeah, definitely. A lot of people that I've talked to, it's like the intensity shows up in different ways. For some people like myself, was working a lot of weekends, which I don't typically like to do, but sometimes it's called for.
Right. 80 hours is enough.
80 hours. You donate another 40 hours to your job every week because you love it so much.
I'm pretty crazy on my hours just in the 5 days. It's intense. So how did we do this show anyway? What was the format?
How did we
Do we
do
have
the
a
show?
format? Yeah, what did
We
we do?
slipped into a format. We would say hi to each other, and then do a usually we would do a guided meditation. And I'm almost positive I did the last one.
I like that.
I'm pretty sure actually.
Right, Scott. All
So I think today is your turn.
right, shall we do this then?
Yeah, let's do a guided meditation. I think that'll
Let's do
get
something.
us in a nice vibe.
Okay, so if you happen to actually be listening,
Which would blow Sheldon away.
which would just freak me out. Hey, you can call in, right? Is there a number?
Oh, there is a number. We will be talking about basically today's theme is applying spirituality while you're at work. In this case, it's, A Course in Miracles, how you can do secret spirituality at work, which is the
This.
theme and the, I guess, the content of a book that will be coming out soon.
Yes, Scott has. You have spent a considerable amount of time looking at this, practicing it, living it, and writing about
Along with you, except you wouldn't do the writing part because you're
it.
Sheldon. So I had to write about you.
Oh, you wrote, I got to be mentioned. That's pretty cool. I'm digging that. Thank you,
Yeah.
brother. It's
No, thank
called what?
you.
It's going to be called Forgiveness Inc.
Yes.
Secret Spirituality
At work.
at Work.
Yes.
And you're
That
going
is the
to
title.
publish this soon.
I will, yes, self-publishing. Still need to get through the last editing parts and then kind of designing the book itself. But the words are written, so that's a good first step.
That's pretty awesome. Congratulations. I don't know how you did it with all the busyness, and it's cool, man. Super cool.
I hire Keebler elves, elves.
They go around at night while you're at sleep,
That's right.
scurry around, and next thing you know, you get Word docs on your
There you
desktop.
go. It's a beautiful thing.
Cool. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So if anybody happens to be listening and wants to call us, they can, right?
That is correct. And you can call in to Station One toll free at 888-627-6008 if you want to share, stories of how you maybe do your spirituality while working at your job or career or in your life, or if you have questions about how to do that.
Stealth mode spirituality on the down low.
Right, because you don't need to be preach the gospel to be spiritual. You can just do it all
Nonsense.
internally and be a lot more peaceful and happier, and hopefully the people around you will notice and maybe feel the same way.
Scott, are you sure you're not carrying around the Course in Miracles and shoving it down people's throats?
I like
At
to do
work.
that, but I've been told
At
it's
work.
by HR, it's not a good thing. Just to smack people with that big blue book across
Quit
the
beating
head.
people over the head with a big blue
That's
book.
right.
I like to do that.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? Project your guilt onto others.
Bam. Okay. Let's get this meditation over with.
What, you're not going to enjoy it? We will.
Here we go. So how do I do this? You start with a deep breath.
Very carefully.
Nice deep flowing breath. If you can, feet on the floor. Back's relatively straight. And the breath is just relaxed and natural. What the natural breathing and relaxation does is just allow you to open up, just allowing the thoughts to drift away, allowing them to enter and to leave as they will. We're just opening the heart. We can imagine ourselves breathing through the heart. Because in essence, love, being loving, compassionate, is about being open in the heart. And all the practices, in essence, are about being aware when the heart closes down. So we take this time to consciously open our hearts. Remembering that as we give, we receive. So as we give and extend love and compassion into the world, our capacity to receive that love and compassion increases. The paradox is that we must first receive for ourselves in order to give, which means we must be open to receiving love and compassion, to looking at our thoughts and our own deeds and our own actions with love and compassion. And as we heal, our wounds, the places that cause our heart to close, it naturally opens. And our capacity then to give and extend love increases naturally. As Buddha said, compassion arising naturally. This process of receiving and then giving and extending is a continual flow. It's like a river that gets wider and wider and wider. so that the waters of life and of love flow freely, abundantly, unimpeded. Letting the river of life, of love, of light be your guide. Letting that love be your support system, uplifting you, holding you, guiding you. This is what brings peace. Peace beyond all understanding. The peace that is not of comprehension, not of control, not of judgment, but of openness, allowing, and surrender, and trust. And with that, we will bring it to a close. Scott, are you there?
Yes. Thank you, Sheldon.
How was that?
That must have been, it was really nice on my end. I think it's always good to kind of go deep, go silent, quiet. And, you know, and again, I think it's also the energy that comes through. That's why I really enjoy working with you, Sheldon, because you go deep really fast. And what was kind of funny on my end, our cat is in this back room with me, Bella, and she is snoring so loudly. I don't even know. Probably can't hear it through the mic, but she went deep. Because she's a little cat, and she's snoring so loudly right now. It's hilarious.
Cool. It does feel so. You can feel. It feels like that for me. Like it goes deep pretty fast. It's like I can close my eyes and bam, I'm like so. It's hard to even talk, actually.
Yeah, I think, and especially in this fast paced world we live in, like we've talked about this a lot. You know, the technology and like I notice, especially the younger generation in the workforce, they're just so used to. And actually, they expect things to be fast. I want Like if let's say you're strumming a guitar thing, I want the changes to happen fast, fast, fast. I don't want repetitiveness, and I want to be able to listen to that, the TV, and be doing some work at the same time. And then when you go into this state, it just, whew, everything goes away. And I think that freaks some people out, you know?
Maybe that's why it feels faster, more dramatic, because the shift is more dramatic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Makes sense. That would make sense.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Ooh. And I think we do quote-like things too, right?
Yeah, normally we do. I think.
Did you forget the format?
Kind of did, but I've got a quote.
Up your sleeve?
Yeah.
What do you got there?
I'm just going to go into, this is in there's an appendix in the book that will come out. And in the appendix, there's several quotes that, and again, I'd like to give my thanks to the Foundation for Inner Peace, who now owns the publishing rights again to A Course in Miracles. But they were kind enough to let me use several quotes from the course for the book. And so in the appendix section, there's quotes that you can use to just get you in the forgiveness mindset. So like if you're trying to basically interrupt your pattern, right? If you're just kind of not doing so well at work or maybe judging a situation or people, you know, if you say a quote from the course, it usually helps break that up. And one of the ones that I would like to use pretty often is, I choose to see my brother's sinlessness. That's in the workbook. That's lesson 335.
Cool. Can you say that one again? I choose to see my brother as sinless.
Sinlessness.
Oh, see my brother's sinlessness.
Yep. And then the other one, which is workbook lesson 286. The hush of heaven holds my heart today.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yep. How about you, Sheldon?
You know what? I was going to do a lesson too. Mine's 33.
All right.
There is another way of looking at the world. That's it.
There you go. Short, sweet, simple.
Kind of like the intro thought, right?
Yep.
Just planting the seed. There's another way of looking at this.
Exactly. Just little tiny shifts in perspective.
Right.
So yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking to say, do you have any cool stories about work or things that are happening recently?
Go ahead.
You had a story you told me that I think we haven't shared here. The guy that you went for a walk and you did we talk about that?
No, you'll have to refresh my memory.
You were looking for a way to like develop a part or something like that, and or some budget.
Story. Yeah, actually, I think that's one of the real more practical things that I found that has really blown me away about. In this case, it's sort of, you know, learning to let go and just kind of go, well, I think it seems like I have this problem at work, and in this case, it was very specific. We were trying to develop a process or a part or whatever. And, you know, we needed to get tooling to support it. And we were just kind of getting blocked at every turn. Normally, it's, you know, you can usually find people that can do the work for you or outside companies. We found an outside company, but it was like super expensive. We were being told like, no, you guys can't do that. You got to make it cheap and fast. I'm like, okay. And so I noticed, you know, the old pattern within myself of kind of feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm responsible. I have to be the one that figures this out and get it done. And I realized like, wait a second, you know, I'm judging this situation and I'm doing the typical ego that, you know, the ego wants you to feel guilty and responsible and stressed out. And I just said, hey, you know, I'm practicing this course thing and Course in Miracles thing and secret spirituality at work. And so I just, you know, for me, the default's has become, I'm just going to hand this over to Holy Spirit and, you know, and realize that you know, I would rather see peace instead of this. And so I did that. And like literally with, I mean, it was pretty quick. It was within seconds or a minute or two. I just had the urge, just go downstairs and just walk around, just start talking to people. It was kind of the feeling I had. And it was literally the first person I ran into. They were over working at a machine. And I was like, hey, how's it going? I haven't seen you in a while. And he's like, oh, you know, pretty good. I'm just learning how to use this thing and I'm looking for work. I was like, really? I go, well, listen to this. I got this project. I explained it to him and he's like, that's perfect. That's exactly what I would want to do. And I have material for you. So, you know, what turned out to be a high cost roadblock thing immediately flipped over to, yeah, we can get this done in a matter of days and it's going to be really, really cheap. And so I think awesome. That's a great practical example, yeah, of how this stuff can actually work. And of course, you know, like we were joking earlier, I don't walk around going, I practice A Course in Miracles, so this project's going to go great, you know?
Right.
I personally feel like the projects I work on do go well because I am learning to hand over stuff. And I don't know. That's my opinion. Of course, I could go on to another project next week and it'll be a total mess, chaos, and crazy like I've seen in the past. But personally, I feel like applying the course and, you know, spirituality at work has just made a huge difference, at least in my, you know, my approach and how peaceful I feel. And I'll get stressed out still, but not to the extent. And then I have seen some pretty cool magic or miracles happen, you know, that is inside a corporation.
I think that is an awesome story. It's what it stuck. I've actually shared it with other people. It's that whole process of the echo, right?
Yeah.
Of just, you know, what is your primary function? Your primary function is not to do your job at work. Your primary function is to stay connected and be at peace.
Right. That's, yeah, exactly. It's, that's your job, is to be like, wait a second. No, I'm not, in my case, like I'm not a process engineer or development engineer. I'm spirit in heaven. But I got to remind myself of that all the freaking time.
that's the challenge, right? But when you do that and when you come up with something that normally would trigger or bring you out of that space and into, you know, connecting into this, you know, form and this, oh, my job and da-da-da, and I need to control it, right? I need to take charge, like you were saying, all these things coming up for you. And then when you were able to release that, and truly release it. And it sounds like you really did, or you wouldn't have had that kind of response that you had, right? Because when you really, truly release it, the miracle is instantaneous and the echo is there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you were able to see, is that, wow, all I need to do is truly let go and move forward, right? But moving forward from a place of peace.
Well, that's
And sometimes forward is taking a walk.
Yeah, I mean,
guidance, which doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense to the conscious, egoic, logical thinking mind. I have to be going to doing work, and you're like, hey, I'm going to take a break, take a walk. And in doing that, you hit exactly what needed to happen, you know, and you were guided, and everything just unfolded for you.
Right.
Effortlessly. It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's kind of like looking at a picture, but blurring your eye to see the 3D image behind it, right? Because it's kind of a trick, right? Because it's sort of like, yeah, in the physical form, I'm responsible for certain things. And my personal personality or ego is like, I want to do a good job and, you know, make these people like me and be happy, you know? And so I got to watch that part of it. But when you release and say, Holy Spirit, you know, I want to heal my mind, which means I want to see this differently, I want to experience this differently, and I want to experience this through your eyes, then it becomes completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ego's default is, I got to punish myself or punish other people, you know, on a subconscious level to get what I want. You know, I think there is a lot of belief system out there, especially like around wealth and getting money or power or position, that you've got to basically step on people, beat them down, and devour whoever gets in your way to reach the top, right? And then, and yeah, maybe in the physical world, that has been a way to do it. But I think the course, not saying the course is going to promise that wealth or that you're going to attain things, but I think what it can do is allow you to go through your life experiences and work experiences and feel happy, which to me, that's wealth right there.
Absolutely.
Peaceful and happy.
Peace, at peace and happy with whatever you are in.
Right.
And then that will radiate, you know, whatever it radiates and connect to whatever it connects to, and you'll be in a flow of peace and love and joy no matter what.
Yeah, and quite honestly, it opens up the space. Like, for example, there are moments where, like, I'll be running a meeting and, like, someone will bring up, you know, a technical problem, and it's like a wall comes up, right? It's like, well, what about this? We haven't figured this out. And everyone kind of goes, huh. And my default typically in the past was to freak out internally, tense up, and be like, oh gosh, what do we do? And now I just go, I notice that, but I go, Holy Spirit, I'd rather experience this or see this differently. I'd rather, you know, have a healed mind and see all of these people's spirit in this situation is what it is. And then typically I'm seeing where people will come out of the woodwork and be like, oh, I've got an idea, or, you know, actually it's not a problem, because, and all of a sudden that wall just disappears.
That's awesome.
But it's a constant wall up, mountain up, you know, and down. But yeah, it's interesting.
It's kind of, that is awesome. That is so cool. For me, the same kind of similar things happen where, and I think there's a level of almost trust and right that it'll be okay. Like, it kind of like in this, even in this form, in this job, in this work world, like totally on a practical level, everything will be okay. And it's okay. And whatever comes up, I can handle, you know what I mean? Like, in trusting that, you know, trusting that. So it's kind of like in that peace, you're like literally holding space for your whole team, right? It's like you're vibrating peace, you're vibrating love, you're vibrating calmness and safety. So when these fear-based things come up and you don't react to the fear, you hold the space of love and peace and quietness, right? Like, it's going to be okay. You know, ooh, figure something out or whatever. You know, that can be the thought process, right? You don't have to say anything, right? But you're holding that kind of space. You're allowing everybody around to function. This is all the practical level, at a higher level of functioning. They're no longer in fear. They're now in like, hey, let's work this out. How do we work this out? Hey, I got an idea. You know what I mean? And so they're more creative. Their creative processes are flowing. Yours are flowing.
Yep.
Because you're coming from a place of peace and not fear. And that is where everybody on a practical level is functioning better. And all of a sudden, everything happens. And then it's like, wow. In the Tao Te Ching, they have that thing, you know, one, you know, the worst kind of leader is like feared and despised, and the next one is like respected or whatever. And he has all these levels, and he says, when the master leads, people say, "Look, we did it ourselves." You know what I mean? Because he's so allowing this space of allowing things to sort of move forward naturally and guiding gently that nobody knows he's even doing anything.
Mm.
You know that, but it's really like your ability to hold that space or hold a field for a group, right? And it's just like, this is okay. We can figure this out, guys. We'll figure it out. Maybe not tonight, you know, maybe not today, but don't worry about it. We'll get it, you know, whatever. And bam, stuff shifts. That's awesome. That's beautiful.
Yeah, the stuff works, man.
It's so cool. And the bottom line is your peace is increased.
Yeah, I think that's what's made a big difference is, like, I've noticed, at least in my life, and I'm assuming for you, Sheldon, and those that may be listening, you know, it's like you see patterns come back in your life. I notice I have a theme where, in a lot of cases, I've got to go through stuff twice at least before I feel like I'm kind of doing it or completing. And that's exactly what's happening to me as I'm kind of going back into roles I've had before and getting a second chance to see them. And in fact, I'll just share, you know, one additional thing that, in fact, I just added to the book as it came back from editing was I had wrote in the book about a certain individual that was pretty difficult to work with, or actually there was two of them together. And I mentioned that the one guy, I was doing a lot of coursework at that time because it was so pretty difficult, very stressful. And this guy, it was like, was telling us he was planning to be in the company for a while, at least through making, you know, this next big 777 derivative part. But all of a sudden, one day, he said, "I'm retiring," and just within like a month or two was gone. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, what an example of sometimes situations change like that. Well, the interesting thing is a pretty high up manager or executive brought him back into the company recently and brought him right directly to me to work with. And I thought, wow, how interesting. You know, what a, and instead, you know, and there's a little bit of dread, I won't lie,
right.
But it was also like, wow, cool. I get another opportunity to practice the course some more. Mm-hmm. And I noticed I would allow myself to have some anger flare-ups around this person, which is another new thing for me. Mm-hmm. Just sort of like this person can be very inappropriate and very, I don't think he realizes he does it, but kind of stabs people or groups in the back, right? And so I just wasn't having any of it. But at the same time, while practicing the course and repeating, you know, some of the words from the course or just trying to release things through the Holy Spirit, I had a shift around this person. I see the value this person adds. Like I can see this person has a good heart and tries, but maybe, you know, ego gets in a way a little bit and it doesn't come out right. But I really had this big shift around that, or at least within my heart around like this, I can see the value this person adds, you know.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. That's so cool. It's, you know, seeing the light of the Christ, the face of the Christ within your brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that light, seeing the, like you said, the value. What
yeah.
they bring, and that's on the practical level, right? But it's,
yeah.
you could see that for somebody.
Yeah.
It shifts how you approach them.
Exactly.
And it's a
about
step.
Relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I notice I'm not totally clear on this person. I also want to you know, be very honest about that, because
sure.
there are moments where I might
sure.
kind of see an email or a phone call and be like, ooh.
Yeah.
I feel that, right? But yep. it's like, it's not as bad as it used to be. But it's not completely healed. Like, I want to be very honest about that. Like, I don't want you or people to think like, oh, yeah, I'm totally done. Like, no way, man. I'm still working on this stuff every minute, every day.
This is a journey for all of us. It doesn't end. It
yep.
just deepens, I think, right?
Yep, definitely. Yeah, and I would admit, I feel way more peaceful than I did
yeah.
6 months ago or a year ago, especially a year ago, you know? Yeah.
It's your story. I don't know why it popped in my head. I wanted to share. This is one of those, this was a long time ago. Actually, I think you were leading the group here in San Mateo. So I just started doing this coursework and I was working for a body shop and I was an estimator, right? And one of the accounts had this report that had to be filled out. And it was a spreadsheet that was super crazy. It had like basically every single parameter on this, every repair. I mean, it was like 20 items long. Now, if you filled it out as you were going along, it would have been a total pain, but doable. But the person who was leaving, whose place I took, had not done the spreadsheet and kept it up to date for like 3 months. And I was working, the job intensity level was such that I had no free time to barely even keep up, let alone go back into files that I hadn't even touched, right? And try to piece this information back together, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was
yep.
no physical way I was going to do it. Like I was going to fail, period, right? And I could feel all that fear come up, like
yeah.
real fear, like I will fail. This, I can't do it. I can't put in enough hours. They won't let me put in enough hours because it takes me like 50 hours of overtime. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is not going to happen. The account's going to get pissed. Da, 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 da. And I could feel all this stuff. And then I was mad at the account, the insurance company, for demanding this thing because it was really mm-hmm. over the top and ridiculous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't need it. You know, it's just like, it's all there in other forms. Why do you need this one? You know, you can get all this information in other places. They just wanted it all compiled for them. And I mean, the tightness in the chest, all of that stuff coming up for me, right? Fear of failure, blah, blah, blah. So I just remember spending this night of really like feeling it. Like I was at home and doing all this release, forgiveness, forgiving myself, doing my lesson, just letting it all go. And I remember thinking, wow, I have to forgive the company, you know, the insurance mm-hmm. company. Can I forgive
yep.
a corporation for having a stupid rule, right?
Yeah.
My judgment, right? And I'm
yep.
like, wow. And I'm actually, so I actually sent love and forgiveness to the company, myself,
yep.
all the fear. I come in the very next day, open up my email, and there's an email from that insurance company saying that report is no longer required. Like literally the very next day.
That's awesome.
And that was really early on in, you know, my practice of just, you know, even working with the course. And I remember thinking, oh,
that's a great
stuff works.
That is a great point. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because legally our country at least sees corporations as individuals, but yeah, you could apply a course and forgiveness at an entity level, right? A corporation level. It's the same thing.
Yes.
That's great.
And it was just, that was one of those, it was really early on. And I just was like, wow, okay. you know, this thing, something going on here. You know, yeah, that was kind of cool.
That's awesome. Good job, Sheldon.
Good job, Scotty.
Yeah, I've just one for me, I guess, using the course at a personal level was great. I was like, wow, this is really helping me get through some seemingly difficult stuff. I mean, I don't think I'm tooting my own horn. I mean, I know I've had sit downs with other managers especially at one point when I was, I only did a 2-year stint in management, and that I also got clear, I think, by going inside and realizing that's not for me. But I know at the time I had other managers tell me like, wow, and I've been a manager for 10, 15, 20 years, you know, depending, and I've never seen things this crazy. So I knew that, you know, I was going through some odd things, but if it wasn't for the course, I probably would have gone crazy, you know.
Like literally, right?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what seems to be happening right now. The energy is so amplified and intensified, or whatever you want to call it, that it's bringing up all kinds of stuff, and it's making it very difficult or intense for everybody. For, you know, it's just intense. Like we were saying at the very beginning of the show, that's the kind of the mantra for what feels like it's happening right now. It's just intense.
Yep. Big time. Yeah.
And the beauty of that is if you can practice, if you can release, if you can look at what's coming up and with love and compassion and forgiveness for yourself, right? And just release all the fears that are coming up, that you can have actually huge shifts very quickly. That is the
exactly
opportunity that's always there before you with whatever comes up.
I think that's one of the advantages of this time frame is, you know, I think energetically everything is so intense. So, you know, negative things come up more often, but I also think positive shifts can happen a lot more quickly than maybe what we've all experienced. Just like the examples you and I just mentioned before, that's the part that's been blowing me away, is seeing things happen, you know, you could call it magic or miracles, whatever you want to call it, but happening outside of myself, you know, in a work environment, how quickly things can shift in a positive direction.
I had a conversation yesterday with a guy who works in my group, in my shop, and he's what we call a prepper. He preps the cars to go into the paint booth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he had been prepping for years, but it turned out he'd only been prepping for a couple of months when I got there, which was last December. Okay, so just this last December, so we're looking at, 9-10 months. And he had only prepped for a couple months before I got there, so I kind of gave him, we kind of reorganized, we were doing some stuff in the paint department, and one of the things was allowing him to transition into the paint booth and learn how to actually spray paint the cars, but not make the colors. So the painter would do that, but he would learn how to apply the paint, which is a huge step, but it's not the hardest step. It's not that hard to do, but it's a skill step, but it's a big, it's definitely a progression, right? And a rapid progression, because there are preppers who stay in that role for their 10, 20 year, 15 years, almost never progress to becoming a painter. The painters don't want to train them because it's threatening to them and they're, you know, that kind of thing. And there's all kinds of reasons, but there are preppers that prep their whole life. And so here's this kid, right? And I wanted to help him progress. So put him in the booth And he turns out he's got a lot of talent. Like, he's very good at it. And I'm going to send him to this school next month to learn how to make the colors and do everything. So then at that point, he's literally trained as a painter, full on.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes talking to me yesterday, and he's kind of, you know, hitting me up for more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny. But in the course of our talking, and we were kind of just sort of outlining his whole growth curve and how fast it's been for him, he said the shift for me was I had to stop being afraid. He goes, because he was a body man working on the cars before repairing them, and I didn't know that. He goes, yeah, I've been in the shop, but I was on the other side. I was working as a body man. And he goes, and I was always afraid of making a mistake. He goes, I was always afraid, and it just stressed me out. And he goes, and I got to the point where I got out of the business, and I worked in another job. I got out of a body shop, and I quit. And he goes, and when I came back here, and Freddie, who was the painter who was training him, he goes, he really helped train me. But I knew in my own mind that I had to just let go of the fear, and I can just do it and be okay with it. And he goes, and when I did that for myself, everything started shifting for me. And and you know, he's not practicing Course in Miracles, but he's practicing letting go of fear.
Right.
And yep. Letting go of fear is the key, right, to what it all happens. And so it was really cool to hear this young kid, he's in his early 20s, and he's just talking about letting go of fear and just sort of going for it. And that the painter who's been training him, my painter, kind of kicks him in the butt a little bit. Like, here, you can do this. Go. Just do it. You know what I mean? And kind of pushes him a little bit. And he does it. And he can do it. And then he goes, wow, I can do it. You know? And how, like, because he's grown what some people, 10 years in this business, and he's done it in less than a year. And that's also with the intensity. But if you make the shifts, you can shift things faster. And I think that that's what's happening. I mean, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, I completely agree. And just a reminder, if there's anybody listening live right now, you can call in at 888-627-6008 if you either have a question or a comment based on what you're hearing. Or if you don't feel like talking, you can just go to ofcourseradio.com and submit a question through our contact page.
And we would all have a heart attack. That would be cool.
You mean if someone reached out to contact you, Sheldon?
Yeah. Be like, what?
That would blow you away.
Oh, shit. Somebody's listening to this?
Oh, no. I got to go back and edit that.
No. But yeah, it was so cool. I also felt like that's sort of part of the echo. You know what I mean? You work on yourself and you're healing, you're shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And it does connect to other people and bring them into a space where they're, like you were saying with your team, right? Where you hold that space and in the meeting, and then people say, hey, I have an idea, you know, that might not have happened had you responded differently.
Yeah. Or, I mean, in a corporate world, it is interesting to play with, especially space and allowing things to open. Like, I know every morning I have to host a meeting, and there's times where I intentionally try to leave a pause. And, you know, some people are very uncomfortable with that. What are we doing next? Why is there silence? You know, it's like, it's pretty interesting to see how people react to that.
It's cool.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, so I'm I did the and I have a weekly meeting, and I've been doing little things with that, and been kind of more a little more getting more blatant sort of with that. Sort of
how so?
Well, I mean, I've literally dedicated about 3 minutes at the very end of my meeting. And this is with the whole shop in the office in a group standing around in the shop. And so, you know, you don't get too much quiet time, but about probably 5 minutes or less at the end of the meeting, I'll talk about something that's sort of spiritual or whatever. And I've started with, you know, quantum physics. We're all connected. The double slit experiment. We did the rice experiment in the shop. It kind of came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for a month. It came out okay, but they were actually, to me, it wasn't as dramatic as I would have liked it to be, but a lot of them were like, holy smoke, like they saw a difference
Could you retell your rice story, the one that you did?
Sure.
And then I'll share one about a coworker of mine when you're done.
So Masaru Emoto, in his book about water crystals and how they crystallize differently when you put words on them or intention with them, right? Talked about this rice experiment where he had two jars of rice, and one you would say, I love you or thank you, something like that. And the other one was like, I hate you. And that the rice, so this is cooked rice in a jar, and it would basically kind of rot differently. And then there was a variation on that experiment where a third jar of rice was ignored. And so I did this experiment. I wanted to do it for myself. So I had, you know, a pot of rice, and I washed out these yogurt containers. They were opaque, so you couldn't see through them because he had it in glass jars, but I figured you can see how it's changing and that might influence your thought process. And so I wanted it to be completely like I had no idea whether this thing was working or not. So I took one pot of rice, three yogurt containers. They were exactly identical, washed them all at the same time, divided it into three things, put them in three corners of all out of direct sunlight. I did everything I could to control it as much as I could. And basically, I'd put my two hands together like in prayer. Mm-hmm. And sort of do like a quick, I mean, I'm talking like done, like I just did it right now. And then the other one I would flip off. So I had them on both sides of my door in my front entrance of my place. So I'd turn one way, do a little hands together, turn the other way, flip the thing off, like microsecond, like boom, boom, done. And with no real energy, like I wasn't really like, you know, oh, I love you. I just sort of boom, boom, done, just super quick. And then another one was stuck in a corner and just ignored. And forgot about it. Did it every day, a couple times a day as I go in and out of my place. And then one day, you know, Sean comes over, my buddy, and he's like, hey, what's that rice experiment? How's it doing? I'm like, oh, God, it's probably been over a month. Let's look at it. And it was super dramatic. Like the ignored one was the worst because mm-hmm. there's no energy. It's like kids that are ignored. You know, it's like even if they're yelled at and screamed at and disciplined, that's a form of energy, right? Mm-hmm. But the ones that are just left and like you don't even exist, those are the ones that get affected the most deeply. So this rice was completely green, like green, dark green. And then the one that I was flipping off was completely engulfed in fungus with this dark black core that was super dark. And then the one that I was doing the prayer to, 2/3 of it looked kind of yellow, like it dried up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like dried rice, like no fungi, had a little bit of fuzzy white and a little bit of green core in the middle. But it was like so noticeably dramatically different. It was just like there was no doubt. Like it was like, wow. So that was my rice experiment. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I always remember just being blown away by that experiment you did. That's awesome. In fact, I shared that. I think I told you this. I also brought in the Dr. Emoto water crystal book to my last group that I managed and gave him the book and then just talked briefly about it. But one of the guys, I think it really touched him. And so I think I shared this with them like fall of last year, so that by Christmas time when his family got a Christmas tree, this was December of 2014, they put the tree up, but then after Christmas, they decided to leave it up and to do this experiment. And I shared your story. And I was basically they had the tree up until I think middle or near the end of the summer, and they eventually had to get rid of it. But it lasted that long, and they were sending love to the tree.
That is so cool. That is trippy. Hello. I think Scott might have lost out here. So let me see. That's what happens when you send love to a tree. He actually was able to keep it alive for 6, 7 months, 8 months. That is pretty crazy.
Yep.
There you are. You back.
Okay. Yeah. It sounds like I got kicked off.
You got kicked off for a second there. So the last thing I heard was you said that the guy was sending love to the tree, and it lived for
Yeah, I think for about 7 or 8 months. He said for a while, like, he didn't see any changes to the tree whatsoever. And then eventually the backside that they probably weren't giving much attention to started to get brown, so they decided to get rid of it sometime like later summer, I think.
But he was sufficiently like, wow, himself.
He was blown away. Yeah. I was blown away by the fact that
he did it.
He was open to trying it.
Right.
Because I know, you know, people I work with, a lot of engineers are very skeptical about metaphysics, quite honestly. I've been surprised by maybe a couple, but yeah, I think most of the people I presented this to were like, yeah, this guy's a nut. But it was really cool to see that someone try that and have similar results to what you saw.
It is awesome. There was a woman on YouTube, and I think she was Japanese, and she didn't post it with any kind of like keywords or whatever, and I've tried to find it, but she had three flower pots. And they were a plant with flowers. And her experiment was, she wasn't going to water them for a month. And they were literally right next to each other on a windowsill. And she time-lapse photographed the whole thing. And it was like, ignore, love, hate. And the ignore one just starts wilting and dying, like immediate, like just in this totally linear fashion. You could watch it go blah, 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 blah. And the love and the hate ones were interesting because they would, you know, day you could see them shrink down at night, and then they'd sort of blossom up in the day, and then they would go down and down and down and down. And she's doing this for 30 days, time-lapse photography. And so you kind of see them go down, up, down, up, down, up as the night goes and the day. And then eventually you see the hate ones start to kind of shrivel up and start to, you know, die a little bit. I don't think it ever completely dies, but you can clearly see it's going down. The love one, at one point, kind of looks like it's going down. And then it's like, I think it's like 2 weeks in, it literally starts to sprout back up and reflowers. So the three plants all that flowers at them. The one die, the hate one dies, never flowers. The love one wilts, looks like it's going down for a little bit, and then literally reflowers and reblooms.
Wow.
It's like totally like, wow. It was pretty cool. Couldn't find it again. I don't know. Tried to post that flower experiment, you know, all that stuff. But
I think great examples, right? I think just holding more love even in your mind can make can make a big difference in this physical world, even though that's from the course's perspective, that's not really the point. The point is healing your mind and remembering you're just back in heaven with God.
Right.
But yeah. Well, hey, I'm noticing we're getting close to the top of the hour. And I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about anything going on at AUM before we end.
I have been facilitating A Course in Miracles on Wednesdays. So that is still ongoing. We are, I'm also doing a men's group every other Saturday. And as a matter of fact, in a couple hours after this, at 1 o'clock at AUM, we'll be gathering. And this is basically heart-centered living, how to be a man, or what does it mean to be a man in this time, day and age.
And where are you hosting that at?
At AUM 149 South Boulevard in San Mateo. So if you happen to be listening and wanting to join, you're welcome to join. So it's this today, if you're listening live today, the 17th of October, at AUM 149 South Boulevard in San Mateo.
Are you ever going to offer those of us that are locationally challenged to your area a way to participate?
We have still been talking about that. We have a TV now. We have a TV now. We have a computer donated. We got to get it hooked up, get some internet, and I think we ought to be able to do that soon.
All right. Well, I'll keep pushing on you. I think in the meantime, it looks like we're going to have to wrap up here.
Awesome.
So once again, it was always a wonderful chatting with you, Sheldon, and talking all things A Course in Miracles.
Same with you, brother. Always good. Let's not wait so long.
Definitely not. Love you, brother.
Love you.
Talk to you next time.
Take care.